B-Pod Studios.
Sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How we doing? Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand. Hump day.
Wednesday.
Hump day.
Like that. I got a little depressed today because I got up and opened up our Slack, which we all communicate through. And I'm looking for the Thursday, June 11th. Thursday, June 11th. I got reminded this morning it was Wednesday. Hey, it's Wednesday,
sorry,
but that's a good thing.
That to you.
It's better than a Tuesday. Yeah,
it's better than a Monday.
Better than Tuesday.
Or Tuesday.
It's way better than Mondays are terrible.
Wednesday has no feel.
It's just right there, right in the middle.
What's that song like? Tuesday afternoon.
Are there any songs about Wednesday, Hardy? You ever remember a song being written about Wednesday?
I think I've had this discussion before. I don't know if it was that. No.
Wednesday. Hey, I'm trying to think. Wednesday songs. No. I'm sure there's something out there.
Wednesday morning, 3 a.m., Simon and Garfunkel.
How's it go?
I don't know.
All right.
I wouldn't say that's one of their best.
There's even songs about Monday. Monday. You know?
Yes.
You got something else there?
Jim, can you turn me up? We'll listen to Wednesday morning, 3 a.m.
So
I can hear the soft breathing of the girl that I love.
I'm good.
As she lies here beside me.
All right.
I'm telling you, man, half of Simon and Garfunkel's catalog makes you want to go commit suicide.
Stop. And this is the scariest thing when we talk music. Like
you,
they're very good at what they do. Like Simon and Garfunkel, when they're in tune and they got something, you know it's a hit.
Yeah,
that
when they're out of tune,
the man, when you know it's starts with an S and an like, H and
you know what
an
I say,
H.
Hardy? Sit around the fire with Sounds of Silence on and see if you can make it to the end. Like,
oh, hold on, John Lee Hooker, Wednesday Evening Blues.
Yep.
Someone's going to enjoy this.
Not working. This is why there are no songs about Wednesday. Oh, Jesus.
When the sun was sinking low.
Okay.
Jesus.
The first thing when you Google songs about Wednesday, do you know what the first result is? It's a Lisa Loeb song. And we all know that Lisa Loeb only had one song ever. Apparently she at some point got to another one.
Yep.
Wow. Waiting for Wednesday. Who waits around for Wednesday to happen?
Her name is Luca?
It's like the Sunday Night Football song that Mike Francesa got so angry about. We've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Who's waiting all day? We've been watching football all day. Nobody's waiting for Sunday Night Football. No. We'll watch it, but we're not waiting all day for it. Yeah. Lisa Loeb is wrong.
You know Lisa Loeb's one hit, Zoe. You absolutely know that song.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
You say.
There you go.
There you go. There it is. There you go.
About you.
John Frusciante has a song called Wednesday Song. Who even knew that John Frusciante did anything outside of Red Hot Chili Peppers? That's the absolute news to me. Huh. All right.
Well, apparently, Macklemore had a song in 2016 called Wednesday Morning.
Yep. I mean, I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. I never knew he had a song called Wednesday Car. That's not it.
What is this?
That's,
this,
That's definitely not.
That's
Johnny
one of our
Cash.
New rejoins. That's a hit rejoin.
What was that? Was that the Macklemore song that I just referenced?
No, that was the ad before Johnny Cash's song.
Oh,
a Wednesday card.
So it was an ad.
The assembly line is running slow on Monday.
Oh, I kind of like this.
They've been living it up and laying up Saturday and Sunday.
I do like this.
On Tuesday, it's about to come around, but they still feel bad and they're kind of down and mad because they got four more days before the weekend rolls around. On Wednesday, they're feeling fine again.
Oh, it's like a hangover.
Working like a dog and digging in. Trying to do everything they should. Putting them cars together good. And I got me a car that was made on Wednesday.
Oh, I like this song.
Not bad.
I like this
song. Not bad. We may have just found the best Wednesday song there is.
What a guy. How have I never heard this song before? So a Detroit
assembly line. Car that was made on a Wednesday.
That's the day of the week. Oh, my God. This is great.
This is the day of the week the work gets done. Car,
you just better hope you're lucky enough to get one made on Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't hold true for us. You know, we've killed the first 8 minutes of the show talking about Wednesday songs, but...
Well, wait a minute. We're entertaining the masses with this right now.
This is great.
We're doing our job.
On Thursday, the weekend is in sight.
True. Very true.
And yep. They're in a hurry and they don't do nothing right.
The man is preaching.
Friday is the worst day of the week. That's the day they make the lemons, dogs, and freaks. If your car was made on Friday, friend, you'll soon be in the creek. Cause it's payday and the loafing has begun.
You know what? I'm gonna take a guess.
Friday cars, just hope you don't get one.
It does start. It started to feel like one of those. We're getting
Monday,
to the point.
Tuesday, Thursday,
you picture
Friday,
yourself walking in a diner. And you see the fan going round and round. There's a lady there and she's pouring you black coffee and a white coffee cup and a little saucer. You're going to eat the same thing because you eat the same thing every day. So she already knows two eggs over easy over corned beef hash.
You don't then want a like car made on any piece day of pie Wednesday. With
you. I'm going to take a guess right now and say Johnny Cash didn't write. You know what that sounds like? One of those Shel Silverstein songs who wrote A Boy Named Sue.
The Giving Tree.
Yes, right. So he wrote some of those like novelty songs from the 60s and 70s, and Johnny Cash recorded a couple of them. Now, if Johnny Cash wrote it, my apologies to the man in black, but I'm going to look it up right now and see who wrote that thing. You guys can talk about
whatever.
You guys
want
to talk about sports for a second. That's totally up to you.
Come on, let's hear it. It was on his album, The Rambler, that song. What do you got, Hardy? What do you got?
I'm working on it.
Why don't you just...
I don't know. It's
Hey, guys, what'd you think of the game last night?
Borderline ungoogleable.
Really?
You know, I started watching, and I can't stop watching it now. I'm like binge watching.
What?
Trailer Park Boys. Trailer Park Boys.
What
you
is
ever
that?
See it?
No.
It's on Netflix. It's freaking hysterical. Funny as hell.
I'm sorry, what is it on?
Trailer Park Boys on Netflix.
No. You sound like you're saying Netflix.
Netflix.
So what does it involve?
Netflix.
What does it involve? What goes on in this show?
It's two guys. One's a brother, Julian. They have this wacko old guy that runs the park. He thinks he's a cop, but he's really not. He's always hammered.
So is it a reality
show? It's almost like
show?
A Boss Hog
this?
Type thing. No, it's a comedy.
Okay.
It's like a comedy filmed in a trailer park.
I thought you had started watching Parks and Rec.
No, I screwed it up. It's not Parks and Rec. It's Trailer Park Boys. I screwed up.
Oh, so you told...
That's on me. It wasn't Parks and Rec. I actually
the
made
other
it
day,
like
so I was like, oh, I started
Parks
watching
and
Parks and Rec. It's hilarious.
That's what I meant and to type in. I meant to write Trailer Park Boys. Parks and Rec, Trailer Park, same. You know.
Got it. Got it. By the way, Johnny Cash wrote the song.
Yeah, as far as
John
I can tell, that's
R.
one of the...
Cash.
That's one of my... That's a great song.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it really?
It tells a story.
It's a great song, and it's great advice. Buy a car that was made on a Wednesday.
Right. As if you could, but I mean, that's...
As if you could choose.
Like, why wouldn't you? Hey, give me that Thursday car. When was that car painted? Thursday?
It is the last and one of the few Johnny Cash albums to only feature songs written by Cash himself. There you go.
There you go.
All right.
There it is.
That's crazy.
There it is. Well, we're off and running now. By the way,
all right.
Throw this into the mix. All day long. All day long. Great songs
about that
Wednesday.
Game, guys?
This just in. Jim Louth hung himself. He's... Oh,
was
no,
it
he's
Simon
still alive.
Garfunkel that
he tried
it to him?
No, he tried to. He had the belt around his neck. It was attached to the door jam thing.
There we go.
Yep. Had we gone by the rundown, we would have started today with a survey on the NFL and really a Patriots-related survey of Patriots fans that The Athletic did. We're going to still do that. We're going to do that coming up next, so don't you worry. But Songs About Wednesday are now in the mix, too. 617-779-0985. We'll tell you about the survey and the results of it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm so glad to say, a one just came in my way. It was on a very special night.
And then Jim had to put his thumbprints all over this thing. What year was this song made? I'm going to guess 1986.
No, earlier than that.
Gap Band?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 83 on this.
83? 89.
Oh, wow.
89 was the year it was released.
Was a party song they had to get the place going. Was You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dead in it. Pew, pew. Did my highlight reel in high school to that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like all to bombs. See that tape.
All bombs.
I would like to see that tape if you don't mind.
My mom's got it somewhere.
Have her break that out. We got to make sure we digitize that so it's never lost.
Seven-step go routes.
Make sure we never lose that. Nope. All right, so The Athletic did a survey of Patriots fans. It covers a lot of different things, a lot of different stuff. So we should sort of build up to the best of in here. You want to start with some softball ones?
Sure.
Jim took a bunch of the screen grabs for us so that we could easily rifle through them in Slack. So if you want to see them as
yep.
we do this. What is your preferred method for consuming Patriots games? Network TV, turning on the radio for the Patriots local feed, or watching TV with the sound down and local Patriots radio feed synced up.
Come on.
Come on, radio.
Come on, radio.
Well, no surprise. Everyone's preferred method of a Patriots TV. Game is to see it.
Yeah.
So it's 87.7%. The preferred just radio, no visual, is 1.5%. 10.8%, though, said they like to watch TV, turn the sound down, and turn up Soci and Zo. How you like that? That's pretty good. I think that's a good number.
That's pretty good.
1 out of 10, that's high.
That's good.
Good number.
I'll take
that. A lot of people.
Yep.
I take it as a win today.
Good job, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
The Bob.
That's my partner, Bob.
It's Bob.
Oh, well, what is Fowler got?
Probably got some Celtic stat or something.
If you add up the two TV ones together.
I don't know what you mean.
What is the If you're watching TV, we're listening to the radio, or watching just the television.
Oh,
add those two numbers up.
Why am I doing that?
98.5.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
98.5.
Oh, fun.
That's really fun.
That's the stuff we're here for. That is the good stuff we're here for.
When's our 11th anniversary coming? This year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I asked Radzik the other day. Are we going commercial free? Are we going to be putting a day together again for the 11th anniversary? When does the work on that begin?
Better get Jim going on that. Come on, Jim.
We only got 2 months to go to get ready for it. We should start working on it now.
We could do an hour about songs about the number 11.
Could do that.
Absolutely. We could do athletes that are born 11. That would be like the Adam Jones show. Go ahead.
A big picture one from the Athletic Survey of Patriots fans. Do you expect your passion for the Patriots to change with Tom Brady gone? It says, we'll deal with our full suite of questions on Brady's exit in part two of the poll results, but let's set that aside. As Patriots fans speak loudly here, Brady's exit's not going to dampen their passion. What should the percentage be for a good fan base?
What percentage is not going to dip?
Yeah, you lost your passion for the Patriots to change with Brady gone. Like, oh, you know what? I'm just not that into the Patriots anymore.
That shouldn't happen. It should be
like
around
90. Pittsburgh, when Terry Bradshaw was done, did they say, oh, I'm just not that into the Steelers anymore?
No, we had to suffer with Cliff Stout and then Bubby Brister. Nope, we hung in there. Yep.
Right.
But we were Steeler fans, and we waved that terrible towel, and we still went to games, and we sold it out.
That's so
90, it should be around 90.
72.9% say it will not fade. It will not change. I am all in on the Pats.
Boy, I bet if you asked this 2 days after he signed there, and that would be a lower number. I've seen people change here. I have.
And the number of people that say maybe a little, there's bound to be some regression, is 24.4%. And the people that say it's a lot, Brady was their moneymaker, is 2.7%. So you're talking about 27% of people say that their passion for the Patriots will fade. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Maybe that 27% is just your, you know, Johnny Come Lately fan.
It's the wait and see crowd. It's the wait and see crowd. You got to show me. Yeah, they're front runners.
Yeah, the 73% are the people that were there in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
All those other people been there through it all. They've seen all six. You know, it's just, you know, we will change. But it's wait and see type. You have to show us. I don't like the front runner.
So it must just be the front runner fan, is what it is. That is in that 27%, I should say, that say their fandom is going to change as a result of Brady not being here. I still think that sucks. Who do you expect will be the starting quarterback? And this is how they ask it: who do you expect will make the most starts at quarterback for the Patriots this year? Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, someone else. This is a good one.
I couldn't believe the results on this.
This is great.
Yeah. And again, this changes drastically from what the answers would have been 2 months ago.
Do you think so? Why is that?
Well, let's see what the answers are first.
Okay. Brian Hoyer didn't get very much of the vote. In fact, I'm looking for his exact percentage. I don't see it here, but I know what Stidham.
They don't
is.
Put some of the percentages on the lower ones,
okay.
The ones they can't fit. Yeah.
Okay.
They
well,
can't even see them.
I guess they were. Guess they were working out at Dexter High School yesterday.
96.4% believe Jarrett Stidham is the guy who will make the most starts for the Patriots this coming season.
So you're telling me, after, and again, we'll do this two ways, right? Before the draft, you tell me, you know, Brady left. You tell me, you ask people right after Brady says, I'm leaving, and they announce the signing in Tampa Bay, that 96% of the people asked were going to say that Jarrett Stidham was going to be the starting quarterback in Foxborough for game one?
Okay, well, I wouldn't expect it to be 96% anyway, but I don't think it's changed much from 2 months ago. Like, what's changed?
I think there were more people who would have said, oh, no, they'll get somebody. They'll bring somebody in here.
Okay.
They'll bring in Cam Newton.
But you think it would be
they'll fit
drastically different from what it is.
Yes, yes, I think I would drop to more. You know, maybe just over a half. Just over a half people would say, "Oh, they'll go with Stidham," and then another percentage would say they'll bring somebody in, or it's going to be Hoyer. 96%. You think people would have said 96% after Brady left? Well, they're going with Stidham. Everyone says so.
Huh.
No, we sat here and talked about it. Yeah, they're going to go with Stidham? You really think they're going to go with Stidham? Like, it was a debate. It was a source of real conversation. Now it's like this foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
It's still,
now the tide
still
has turned. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that conditioned you to think this way. Yeah.
Like, are you 90, put it this way, are you 96% sure right now, 96% sure that Jared Stidham is going to be the starting quarterback for the majority of the season?
I would say yes.
You're 96% sure.
I mean, but injuries that happen. But I would say if it's trending the way, and this is the plan, he should be. He should be based on the plan. The plan should not work out this way, where you bring Tom Brady's backup back for the third time, you know, off after releasing him, and then he's going to be the new guy. No, it should, Stidham should be the plan, if you plan accordingly, and if you do like him, like they supposedly do.
And how is it worded again? Will be the starting quarterback this year? I mean, who do you expect to be the
most starts? Who makes the most starts?
The most starts quarterback.
Should be Stidham.
Yeah, 90s. I would say I'm 80% sure. I would give it. I'm 80%. Because I could see things going poorly and then putting Hoyer in.
Yeah. Things happen.
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not 96% sure that he's going to make the most starts at quarterback for the Pats this year.
Well, it's not about being 96% sure. It's about who do you believe. It's just an opinion. It's not about your confidence in the opinion. It's just 96% of respondents.
But I'm saying,
that as
I'm
their
saying,
answer.
I'm saying, I'm only at 80%.
It's not a
rating. Okay, yeah, but I'm saying I'm at 80% on Stidham. I could see where a lot more people, especially a couple of months ago, would have thought, no, it's not going to be Stidham getting the most. You know, all but 3.6% of the people think Stidham's going to get the most starts. It's just up. It's up from what I think it would have been 2 months ago. That's all.
You know what I also think it represents? That people want Stidham to be the starter. That's their desire. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see Brian Hoyer. I think it reflects that.
I think if they're conditioned that if Hoyer's in the game, like, you have issues, there's problems.
Yeah, yeah. Those 96.4% of people saw Brian Hoyer play.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. They look at Hoyer and they think, this guy blows.
They listen to Beatle. Listen to Beatle. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. This guy is not good for the Patriots if he's starting. If that's their starter this year, then I'm going to be pissed.
But I think his role is great because he's a great seer of the game. He can convey things. It'll transfer to coaching. So in essence, you're going to have another good buffer there between him and the coaching staff. That's his role.
It's a huge leap of faith because 96.4% of those same people, the same percentage, have not seen Stidham play. All we know is what we don't
right.
want.
They'll take the unknown. As will I, by the way. As will I. I've heard people suggest that, oh, they're still a 10-11 win team with Hoyer. No, they're not. First of all, they're not. But number two, if they're not if they were to lose one or two games with Stidham that they wouldn't have lost with Hoyer, regardless of record. Let's say they go from being a 8-8 team to a 6-10 team. I'll take the 6-10 with Stidham than the 8-8 with Hoyer. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, show me what you got. Can you play? Are you good?
Is there something to build
on here?
Yes.
Is there experience to be gained? Right? I can accept being worse because you started with Stidham because it's going to help you in the long term. I can accept that. But Hoyer, I mean, there's no future there. What would be the point of that?
That's a head scratch. Real quick, that's a head scratch for me too. Does Bill really believe he's challenging him for this? He doesn't want to hand Stidham the job. Just say, here, kid, it's yours. It's not Bill's way to do it. He wants him to take it and earn it. But does Hoyer really believe he's challenging for the job? Like when he's coming here to compete for the starting job?
Jim, quick question for you. Do you
they verbalize that to him? Like,
have you seen in any of these posts from The Athletic the number of respondents to the poll?
No, I looked. I couldn't find anything about the details of what, you know, the specifics were. It's not like that channel market research
channel market
where they give
research.
You every single detail
of the
poll.
Yeah, but this is all part of a much larger survey. that they've done. They did the uniform one. They've done them on other teams. I clicked through the other stories. I didn't see it. I'm going to maybe during the break try and find it again. I wish we knew the number. Again, it's on The Athletic, posted by Sean Leahy. The first part of the Patriots fan poll went up yesterday. Here's a fun one for you, Zoe. The surprise cut during training camp this year. Who's most likely to be the surprise cut? Wait, I just lost it. Hold on. Here it is. If there's a surprise veteran cut from this year's Patriots, who would it most likely be? Here are the options. Rex Burkhead, Marcus Cannon, Jason McCourty, Mohamed Sanu.
If there's I'm going to go 4-3.
I'm sorry?
4-3. Four being the most biggest chance of, I would say, I'd take better odds on Sanu. So I'd go 4, and then McCourty, Jason McCourty, next.
Okay.
Best odds.
So
then Cannon last. I'd put Cannon last. Burkhead third. I'd go Sanu, McCourty, Burkhead, Cannon.
I'm going to go with Jason
McCourty.
You need
a tackle. You need your front side tackle. He ain't getting cut.
But I don't think any of these guys are going to get cut, actually.
I don't either. I think Sanu's going to bounce back healthy, and it's going to stick. Like I think they need Burkhead. I could sit here and argue Burkhead every day, and I have.
I think they need Burkhead, and I think that Marcus Cannon has zero shot, but you never know. Maybe he's, you know, got some sort of injury or something.
Could
who
be
knows?
A money thing. Who knows?
Right. Could be. Who knows? Jason McCourty, I only say that because it feels like they have a lot of defensive backs on this team.
Yeah.
And a lot of young guys that could step up and emerge, and if that happens, you know, you move on from a veteran and under that circumstance. So here are the results. Rex Burkhead got 50.6% of the vote.
It's amazing. McCourty is the last on that.
Sanu was second. Cannon was third with 18.6%. Wowzer. And then I think Jason
McCourty
came in
last. Have you seen the offensive line? Take Cannon out of there. Where's your consistency on the edge? You have none. The unknown, the element of the unknown. We don't know what win's going to be. We hope it's up. Hope he's going to be healthy. But Jesus. It's pretty high for Cannon there. I disagree with that one.
617-779-0985. So we're picking our way through those Athletic Patriots poll results that they posted yesterday. They've got more coming today on that front, apparently. MLS is coming back. We'll get to that later this hour. But Jim wanted to quiz us on the NFL in this first hour. T-Bone apparently came across some quiz and wants to have us answer quiz questions on the NFL. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it is. We'll do that after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Solak and Bertrand at 10:39 on a Wednesday.
10:39.
Apparently, T-Bone came across some sort of NFL quiz.
This is so T-Bone.
And we sat there and yelled at each other for 5 minutes about it on the phone this morning. Not in a bad way, because we were like, what is this?
Huh?
What is this you want us to do? Huh?
Tom, you're not putting any more hair product in your hair. Wake up,
take a quiz? I'm like, is it like the Wonderlic? Are we taking the Wonder? What are we doing? It's like trivia. It's like NFL trivia that he wants us to do.
Ew.
Like we're going out to a bar.
Ew.
And playing
Except
trivia.
Like Sergeant hosted.
It's called the Athletics 2019 NFL Season Review. Because football's
that sounds exciting.
Right? All right. So what do you want to do for the next 5 minutes? Go ahead.
No, I want to do
you
it.
Go for five minutes.
No. Let's do it.
I like that.
It's like
that,
Trivial
Jim.
Pursuit. Well, I would get all the sports questions right.
and get nothing else right.
So I asked, you guys realized it when I said, who led the league in passer rating last year?
Shocking.
And Hardy got it right, and you guys got it wrong. Ryan Tannehill. No,
you said who led the league in passing.
Passing. You said passing when you asked
the
question.
You
said passing, Lauf.
Passer
rating.
Maybe you couldn't have said it. That is not what you said.
Tannehill had the best rating going into that playoff game of any quarterback that last year. So we already knew he was number one.
All right, you got the second one wrong. Who was behind Derrick Henry second in the NFL in rushing?
This I got wrong.
I was going to say Nick Chubb.
No, you weren't.
I knew McCaffrey. I was going to say Chubb, but I knew McCaffrey broke all those records, so that's why I went McCaffrey.
Oh, you were going to say Chubb, but you didn't. Question.
I was, yes. Because I
it
know
did
they
feel
ran
a little tricky, but as a trick when you're question. Wrong, you're wrong.
Nick Chubb's that one outliner.
So do you want us to fold the piece of paper and write A, B, C, D? Is that this multiple choice quiz?
Sure.
I got to do that now. Zo, did you do it?
Okay, yeah.
Or you can just say the name if you want. It's up to you guys. Or you don't want to reveal your answers to each other? Is that the deal?
No, well, yeah. We can say it.
Could have done that during the commercial as well.
I know. I didn't think of it. I think it's more fun now, Jim.
All right, I'll start reading this question because it's lengthy.
Okay, go ahead.
Michael Thomas set the single-season record last year with 149 catches.
Uh-huh.
He passed Randy Moss for the most yards by the player in his first 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Aside from Moss, there are only two receivers in NFL history to have 1,000 yards receiving in each of their first 4 years. 1,000 yards per year each of their first 4 years.
What?
I know who one of these guys is.
Well,
so
okay.
Give us the what?
There are,
give us the
there
options.
Are two options with each answer.
Oh, okay, so they're paired.
Yeah. A, okay. DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham. B, Torrey Holt, Jerry Rice. C, Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Or D, Mike Evans, A.J. Green.
Wow, I really wish these weren't paired because I'd be far more confident in my answer.
I got mine.
Okay, I got mine.
I got mine. Someone already held ours up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
D, you guys both got it right. Hardy's wrong. Mike Evans, A.J. Green.
A.J. Green is one of those guys? How is that possible? I guess he was really good when he came into the league.
Oh, my God, dude. He was insane when he came in.
Just
the league.
A stats monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you have any shorter questions?
Mike Evans, though, that's been brought up many times.
This
on
is
Mike
a good
Evans.
One for Hardy.
Mike Evans. That's okay. What do we got?
Which NFL team has endured the longest drought since its last playoff victory?
Ooh.
Bills A, Bengals B, Browns C, Lions D. Longest playoff drought since their last victory.
I mean, the only one I know for sure is the Lions in 91, so that's a pretty long time, so I'll go Lions D.
Nope. Beetle and Zoe right again. Bengals.
Wow.
Dude, it's the Bengals. They have you beat by like
football,
a year or two, don't they?
The football show.
When did they win? 89, 90? Something like that? All right.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson? 1,206 yards rushing last year.
Yeah.
Which one of these former quarterbacks is not in the top five career rushers for quarterbacks? Quarterback rushing.
Oh, boy.
A, Steve Young. B, John Elway. C, Fran Tarkenton. C, Steve McNair. I mean, D, Steve McNair. Sorry.
All right.
Oof.
That's hard, dude. That's all those middle. Guys were runners.
You know what?
Tarkenton was the guy who played in a time where everybody was running.
Yeah. Which is why Fran Tarkenton seems the one that you know what?
It's not Tarkenton.
Was B.
It's not Tarkenton.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going with.
Tarkenton was C. Zoe says Steve Young.
I say Steve Young.
It's either Young or Elway. You're going Young?
Yeah, I'm going Young.
What are you doing, Beetle? I see you looking at a screen there.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my four sheets, you jackass.
All right, we're looking up
eyes
your
front.
Left. Up
eyes
your
front.
Left.
Eyes front. Put all one right, up.
Give me the options
again. Please look at
these
cheap again.
Jesus, Jones.
Oh, jeez. A, Steve Young. B, John Elway. C, Fran Tarkenton. D, Steve McNair.
I'm just going to go B and hope that I beat Zoe on this.
Shocker. After looking at your screen, you got it right. Elway.
You're accusing me of cheating here, Jim.
Yeah,
this is.
I am.
What would I be looking at to have that readily available?
The quiz, NFL.com.
Yeah,
quiz.
I don't know.
You knew it's one of the two older ones.
Freaking internet.
Elway. You knew it was going to be younger Elway. McNair.
It was a 50-50
place.
Process of elimination. If Zoe had answered Elway, I was going to answer Young.
Right.
Let's do another
one. It was one of the first two. Go ahead, Jim. Next one.
Which team led the NFL in scoring last year? A, Ravens. B, Niners. C, Saints. D, Chiefs.
Oh. Right, Saints. I got my answer. Saints or C?
I went Saints C.
I went D, Chiefs.
Nope, Ravens A.
Really?
Oh, good for them. One more?
Yep.
Let's do one more.
One more. I'm just skipping ahead. That was a stupid question.
Keep going.
Talk for a second. I got to skip ahead and find a better question.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, boy, okay.
I mean, no shocking. I mean, no some shocking. Of the individual stuff, right?
Where does Tarkenton rank on the all-time rushers?
Oh, he's got to be up there. He ran around like a nut. He and Staubach. He and Staubach were the two. Ken the Snake Stabler.
Stabler.
He was a runner. Bradshaw didn't run that much. I thought Burt Jones ran around a little bit, too. Boy, Belichick loves him some Burt Jones. You talk top five quarterbacks, he'll put Burt Jones in there with everybody else. It's freaking crazy. So blinded by the Colts.
Anything that's Baltimore Colts, he loves.
Oh, loves it, yeah. Going back to those days, boy. Hell yeah.
Come on. Let's go.
Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, sorry. Some of these are just like guesses. Like how many Heisman Trophy winners have won the MVP? Like that's just a guess. No. So
that's all right. That was a fun exercise, though. How well do you know the league? So you almost have to think backwards. Like some of the guys are putting up the best stats,
right? Like
down,
if you told us, hey, there are four guys that won both, we could sit here and maybe try and come up with a list of four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there were seven. So
seven. We wouldn't come up with all seven, but we could try to get some of them.
Right.
This is a good one. Stephon Gilmore winning Defensive Player of the Year as a corner. First time since Charles Woodson in 2009 as a corner.
Wow.
Since 1971, how many corners have taken home the honor?
Oh, God.
See if you can name those.
Zero idea. It's the first time since 2009.
All right, six. I'll give you the answer. See how many you can name. Rattle them off, all of you. Six corners between after. So Stephon Gilmore, Charles Woodson are two. You need six more.
That were what? Defensive Player of the Year? Champ Bailey? No.
Revis win it?
I'm sorry. Four others besides Gilmore and Woodson. So four others. Revis did not win it.
He did not win it in his early years.
No idea.
Champ Bailey, you said?
Nope.
Did Dion ever win it?
Dion, 94. The year before, somebody else won it. Another corner.
And A.S. Williams?
93.
No, A.S. Williams, good ones, though. Hall of Famer. Four.
Damn it.
Two Steelers on this list.
Rob Woodson?
Rod Woodson, yep.
Okay, good. Wow. Rod Woodson won it. That's five. We need
another
two
Steelers,
more.
Though. Another Steeler.
Carnell Lake? What? No.
Another Steeler.
No. Corner?
Corner.
Steeler corner. You go back to Super Bowl years?
Since 71, since the award came out.
Oh, my God. Can you give us the years?
75 and 80.
Donnie Sean Blunt were the safety.
Oh, 75 and 80.
This list, Mel Blunt, though. Blunt, 75.
All right, Mel Blunt.
Safety, though.
So we're missing one guy? I don't know. I don't know who it would have been.
Lester Hayes, 1980.
Oh,
God. You put a gun to my head, I'd never come up with that.
Stick him. All you have to do is say stick him.
You don't have any more multiple choice for us?
No, that's good.
That's good.
There's a lot of bad questions in there.
No, great.
The first ten were good. No, that was the first ten. We're good. We went
sports
further than we expected.
This is sports fan law.
The first two were supposed to be on the show, but we had to do those during the call. So
yeah, we got them wrong anyway. So whatever. Yeah. Let's get to MLS making a comeback. MLS is coming back. They're coming back before anything else. July 8th, they make their return. We'll talk about
that. Soccer's going to play before baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Major League, I was about to say lacrosse. Major League Soccer.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up,
bro?
Cannons, man.
Yeah, got some brews down there. For say hi to the guys for me, please.
Yeah. Let T-Bone know. I'm going to get him that sweatshirt eventually.
Just keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
Dude, it's cool. You park the car right down here by the track. It's fine.
Just don't tell anybody. The return of MLS now only weeks away. They are going to play starting July 8th in Orlando. July 8th until August 11th. 54 matches. 39
mini,
in group stage.
Mini World Cup, man.
Yeah. I hope the, you know, as Hardy said this morning, let's hope the Revs aren't in the group of death. 54 matches. 39 group stage matches. 15 in the knockout round. 26 match days. The format is a group stage, round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, championship. And this all gets going on June 24th when teams begin arriving in Florida for a July 8th start. So 2 weeks from today, they're arriving in Orlando for the start of their season. Yes, that's what it is. It's a tournament starting at ESPN's Wide World of Sports. Disney World is the site in Orlando, and they will have soccer again beginning July 8th. You think it's aggressive? What do you think? What do you make of the plan?
I don't think it's aggressive. I think, okay, these guys are pretty much stayed in shape, right, running around. We thought baseball was going to be back before soccer. Hey, congratulations to them. I know some people don't consider it a major sport, but it is growing. We talked about the European League just last week, and, you know, to my unawareness, I can't believe the amount of people that tune in for it. And good for you, soccer. Good for you. I like the plan. I think it's simple. You keep them all in one area down there. You're not traveling all over the country. And, you know, this isn't like baseball or basketball where you get entourages of, you know, 5 to 10 people in your family, you know, coming with you. I think they're going to pull this off without a hitch. I do. Good luck to you down there.
You think anybody's going to watch it that otherwise wouldn't watch it? That's really a question.
Think you're going to get new fans. It's not. It's a sport you're trying to grow here, and I think it still has its issues, obviously. You don't have the superstars like you do around the world, but I don't know. Even if they were in it, I don't know if people would really tune in because it's, do you like the game? And if you don't like the game, you're not just going to casually tune in to watch a game just because you haven't had sports all of a sudden. That's going to draw you to it.
I agree with you on this, and I know that others don't agree with us.
Good
but
for them. I won't tune in, but good for them. I'm happy they've tried and figured out a damn plan and said we're doing it. We're doing it on this date. Good for Fight Island, because Dana White said he was going to do it, and he went out and did it. So for these teams, for these organizations, whether it's UFC, whether it's soccer, whether you're one of the, you know, lower professional sports on a viewership standpoint, at least they're trying to get something done and do it and have some normalcy or a season.
Great. I mean, I think everyone's trying to do it, but I just think that. Listen, I'm not going to pay any more attention to it because it's the only thing going on.
Yeah, you're not.
I don't think that would have existed for baseball either.
You're not stealing baseball viewers. You're not stealing baseball viewers. You're not stealing NBA viewers. You're not stealing football viewers. Whatever sport you like, you're going to watch it, regardless of the time of year.
Yeah, but I'll say the same thing about baseball. It can't hurt them. And if they even pick up just a handful of people who hadn't watched an MLS match before, or people who know who the Revolution are but haven't had a chance to watch them, or haven't before, there's going to be at least a handful of people who check it out. And there is something to this tournament format that I think casual soccer fans or just sports fans like more than just regular season play. That's why people get into the World Cup. I'm like, oh, this is different. You know, there's knockout rounds. There's elimination rounds.
That's what they'd say, 3 games a day, right, down there in Orlando. So if they could keep on a rotation to where, okay, you're starting to train people, these are the times the games are going to be on. And if you're sitting at home, maybe somebody will tune in. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but independent.
But I don't think you're going to have a massive faction of fans that are going to jump ship here, but I think some people will tune in.
Jump ship from what? There's no other
nothing.
There's no other sports on. There's nothing else on. So if you get a handful of people tuning in, great. And as I was saying, the tournament format might interest people that ordinarily wouldn't be interested in it. These are the same people who tune in for World Cup matches just because, oh, this is a knockout game. They get a chance to get knocked out here. Now, what they're playing for is this, you know, invented way to get back to playing. But still, it's something, and it is maybe to the casual fan or someone who isn't a fan at all, maybe just a tiny bit more interesting than a regular season matchup between the Revolution and the Red Bulls. You know, they just, you know, yeah. Okay, they don't care about, oh, the Reds are playing New York City FC. So what? What do I care? Oh, it's an elimination match for this tournament? Okay, all right. There's just a tiny bit of juice there. And I they're not going to steal anybody, but there's no one to steal from right now. The fact remains, I think they get a huge amount of credit for being back. Other than NASCAR and golf, this is the first team sport that's going to be back. They deserve a hell of a lot of credit for that, for getting their players together, getting them out there for practice, and actually get, you know, hopefully going to be able to start this thing in early July. I look at the baseball proposal that says, oh, we're going to start games on July 10th, and I laugh. I'm like, are you out of your minds? That's not going to happen. But then on the other hand, look at this. Major League Soccer, all set to go. July 8th, they're going to get it rolling here in just a few weeks. So give them a lot of credit for that. And if a couple new people check it out who haven't checked it out before, great. It's even more credit to them for being back and being back first.
Does this mean you have to work more now, Hardy?
Thank God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Please, I hope so. It's
make money.
Get me and Clyde back in the studio doing a little, a little pregame, a little 30-minute wrap-up. The people who watch the Revolution are in it. They are a small but passionate fan base right now.
All right, very good. Very good. Well, your soccer is back. I don't know that I'll be watching any more of it than I typically would. I check in on them from time to time. But, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be appointment television for Zoe and I. But
no, I don't. But, okay, are you willing to give the sport or the team or any of it, like, any credit for actually getting their crap together?
Yes. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, absolutely.
I do give them some credit for it.
Do you think it's going to hurt them in any way?
I also think that
Do you think it's going to hurt them in any way?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking they don't travel that much.
Can I answer the question? Can I answer the friggin' question? Jesus.
Ooh.
So I would say this about it, Hardy. I think that they don't have the spotlight that the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.